Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
And good afternoon. I'm Maggie Wall, and I am one of the KMXT news team. And we're over in the the production room with three nice people. Two of them I already knew, and one of them I got to meet just today. So that was nice. We're talking about teen court in Kodiak. And I think what I'll do is I'll start from my left. People can introduce themselves, tell me a little bit about each of yourselves. And that way, people who are listening will know what your voice is and who you are. So we're going to start off with Jacob.
Hi, my name is Jacob Dunlop. I'm a judge for teen court, and I currently attend Kodiak High School.
What grade are you in?
I'm 11th, so
11th, okay.
So, hello, my name is Solomon Himmelblum, and I am a senior at Kodiak High School. I serve as a judge for Kodiak Teen Court, as well as the board of directors president, and I've been involved with teen court since I graduated from the law class in January of 2015.
Well, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. Andrew?
Yeah, I'm Andrew Ott. I am the legal advisor for Kodiak Teen Court. Been involved with the program since, 2012, I believe. So.
Yeah, and you're an attorney.
I am an attorney, yes.
So people don't know that. Okay, so tell me, who wants to tell me what is teen court? And I know it can get complicated explaining teen court. So one of you who's real good at explaining things, tell me, what is teen court?
So teen court is a state-approved or community diversion panel, and we're a nonprofit organization, which we're located right next to the library. And part of our responsibility is to take cases from minors or people who are under the age of 18. And these minors have committed a crime which can range from alcohol and tobacco to vandalism and shoplifting. And our main goal in teen court is to use a model called restorative justice in a way to have a positive impact on the community, but also have the youth defendant learn from their action. And in my opinion, the coolest part of Kodiak Teen Court is actual students, ages from the grades 8th grade to 12th grade. They're able to serve as defense attorneys, prosecuting attorneys, bailiffs, and judges, and they get a real interesting experience in the courtroom and learning the law in the state of Alaska.
So let me make sure I understand this. So teen court, to me, in my mind, I think of it in terms of kids do a lot of dumb things, right? And a lot of these are just kid kind of things, and you don't want people to have to carry that with them or throw them in jail with real hardcore criminals, or I don't even know how all that works. But in order to help them set themselves straight instead of throwing them into the regular legal system, they can opt in to go through the teen court system, and they still have to go through a lot of, you know, legal things because you do court stuff. But they get, instead of saying, okay, you have to sit in the jail for a couple of days or 2 weeks, you need to do this and this, and by the way, you have to apologize to the person you hurt, and you have to make things right. Is that kind of how it works?
Yes. So the way that students are sentenced, so there's no jail time and we don't take felonies, but they can be sentenced to up to 45 hours of community work service. They can apologize in person or in writing to the victim of the crime. And then other sentences might include an essay or attending an actual adult court hearing. But the overall goal is to make sure that students learn from their actions, and this charge will not go on their permanent record. So it won't inhibit job interviews, college applications, scholarships, and giving them a second chance to learn from their actions.
So I would think maybe kids don't get it, but I would imagine parents get the benefit of this, because that makes a big difference in their ability to start life, you know, when they hit 18.
Definitely.
Yeah. Jacob, you tell me a little bit about the kinds of things that you do with teen court.
Yeah,
and I need you to talk right into the
sure.
mic.
Yeah. So I'm currently serving as a judge with teen court. So we go over, as Solomon went over, we use the restorative justice model, which is off of three different groups: accountability, community protection, and competency development. And so Solomon was giving some examples of maybe some sentencings I or another judge would give as a panel of three judges, which is another interesting part of Kodiak Teen Court. But yeah, so a essay might fall into competency development because now they're growing as a person and seeing the kind of impacts that they have on their community and kind of just transforming their character.
And does it work? Do you guys see that difference?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in school with these kids. Do you, but I imagine that's all confidential. I just wanted to point that out.
So we work under the Department of Juvenile Justice, and they keep track of this thing called recidivism rate, or the rate at which...
Recidivism.
Uh-huh. And that's the rate at which the offender could recommit the crime. And in studies throughout the state of Alaska and nationwide, they found that states with youth courts, such as Kodiak Teen Court, have some of the lowest recidivism rate. So that means that students are learning from their actions and they are less likely to recommit the same crime in the future.
Got it. And is it because they grow out of it or because they actually learn something?
I'd say it's a combination between both. They definitely mature more, but then they also realize that the actions that they're taking, whether they be negative or positive, in this case negative, they have implications on their life, and they definitely learn that they can't continue on this track, otherwise their future can drastically change.
Right. And even if they do grow out of it, that's kind of part the point of all of this, is that they're kids, they do dumb things. If they were older, they probably wouldn't have done it. So let's not get them caught up in the major court system in the meantime. Jacob, you were going to say something. I asked about did it work, and you started to say something.
Yeah, I was about to bring up recidivism as well, just with different criminal systems, the ones that use more like therapeutic and kind of more... counseling methods of like punishment seem to have higher or have higher rates of like correction in the long run.
Got it. Good. Thank you. All right, Andrew.
Yes.
What are we doing? You're getting ready to start class. Is this like a, tell me how this works with school and classes, right? This is like something they learn. It's not like a, I don't want to say it's not like a fun thing, because I know the kids all enjoy it. But it's a school, but it's not really a school activity, but it kind of is. So it's really like one of these, you know, so many things are rather complex, but they're not really. So tell me what's going on.
What's going on is October is our recruitment month, and we are out with the radio here and school at KMS tomorrow. And yesterday we were at the private schools recruiting eighth graders to come out and to join Teen Court if they have any interest in it, and there's a class that they have to participate in. We try to sell them the idea that they are going to be dealing with real live cases as attorneys, as judges, and trying to make an impact in the community. And if they just have a curiosity about what law is, how we make laws, how they are used in the justice system, what does a prosecutor do versus a defense attorney, what is this guy who's sitting there recording everything and calling everybody to rise when the judges come in or leave the courtroom, the bailiff, what do the judges do, and why do we have three judges versus just one judge? Some people, many of the students, haven't even been into a courtroom before, so they get an idea of what the layout of the courtroom is, where the witness box is, the jury box, and so on. So it's about learning about what law is, why it's important in our society, and why is it important for kids, for students, to know about it as well so they can make certain decisions on their own down the course of their life. I teach a course starting in November 5, Mondays and Wednesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. It's open to anybody. It's free. If anybody just is curious about what it's about, they can all come out and sign up. And then if they don't like it after sitting for a couple of sessions, they can tell us that they want to drop. It doesn't cost them anything to do so. However, if they do successfully complete the class and pass a rigorous bar exam, 3 hours, and pass, they then get sworn as attorneys and they earn one half credit of an elective credit towards their graduation on a diploma. So there is some incentive and some connection to the school district. The second thing is that if they complete 90 hours of volunteer time with the program, doing cases, fundraising, various other things that we do, they then earn another half credit, elective credit, towards their diploma. So it's not an empty process whereby they're just going to do it for the benefit of themselves. There is also the carrot in front of them for the elective credit.
Got it. Got it. Now, when you say KMS, right, the Kodiak Middle School.
Yes. Yes.
All right. And then you said everybody, we're talking students.
Yes.
Everybody. So they don't have to be middle school.
No, 8th to 12th grade, we've had a couple of people in high school. I think, Jacob, you were in high school already when you started your class, right?
Yeah, freshman.
Yeah. There's a tougher group to get the attention of because they're already doing a whole bunch of different things, and then to add on another activity is difficult. But we're trying to do our best. I think Solomon's been heading up the advertising there to try to see if we can get some more high school students involved.
Got it. Okay, so now if I was a kid, do these credits, are they big incentives? I'm looking at the two high school guys here.
I'd say that the credit is definitely an incentive for some students more than others, but just seeing that the work that you put into a class and to continue throughout the program, that has a real impact on your not only your life, but the life of others.
I see. Now, that's a good comment. I could see that coming from you because I know you. But, Jacob, I don't know you. So why are you involved in this? What do you get out of it?
I'm about the same as Solomon in that I really value helping the community and maybe just becoming really a leader and holding like a leadership position, guiding people through high school and setting a good example, as well as a lot of these cases you learn from. Like, it's not just teaching them and helping them develop. You as a judge or an attorney can learn a lot and develop yourself.
I got it. So if you were somebody and interested in this, I think of people that want to be a lawyer, but you don't have to want to be a lawyer to take this class. And I would think as a high school kid, is it kind of dull to think about courts? And really, how many people end up in court? I only go for jury duty, hopefully. What was it that attracted you? I guess that's what I'm asking. What was it like? I'm trying to get a sense of how we can appeal to somebody to get them to be interested in this, or appeal to a parent to encourage their child to be involved in this.
I'd say that there are a lot of benefits to continuing throughout the program. Maybe in the beginning you don't see all the benefits, but as you continue through the class, you learn various skills such as public speaking, organization, how to take notes on a case, how to write up as a defense attorney or a prosecuting attorney, how to convey an argument. And part of this, going back to public speaking, is some students in the beginning have no public speaking experience. And by the end, throughout their experience in teen court, they have a lot of public speaking experience, whether that be to the judge or to their client or to the courtroom in general.
And there are three judges. Tell me about that. That's unusual.
So we're on a panel of three judges, and that helps because all three of the judges see it different, the case differently. So maybe one will see one part of the case and the other one will see a different part of the case, and coming together they can come to a compromise into what would be a fair and appropriate sentence for the client.
So that eliminates, not that you would have personalities, but that eliminates the possibility of, you know, personality conflicts and other people, like you said, see things differently. They come from a different background, or they maybe have a perspective on what this particular thing was. And so they can say, no, really, it's not that bad, or it could have been, or whatever, huh?
Definitely, because part of the class, you learn about conflict of interest and why that's so important to remove a biased opinion and maintain no conflict of interest throughout the case to ensure that the defendant coming through the program, it's worth their time and it has an impact on them. positive impact.
Do you know how many, do you have numbers, statistics, like how many?
I think we have just under 500 cases that have come through teen court in the last 22 years. And we get various cases throughout the year, sometimes throughout the year more than others, but it takes a little bit of time for the case to be processed. And then in addition for the defendant to complete their sentence.
Got it. And so let's say I've done something. Oh, I vandalized something. I was creative in my artistic skills on somebody's car. So then somebody would turn me into the cops, and the cops would come in and talk to my mom and dad. And so then what happens? Kind of walk me through the process.
So then I'm pretty sure that you have a date in court, and then you choose. The interesting part about teen court is you can plea guilty, not guilty, or no contest. But even before that, in court,
regular court,
you're deciding whether or not you want to go to teen court. And it's definitely an incentive for the student for it to not be on their permanent record. So then once it goes through the court system, then it goes to Department of Juvenile Justice because they're a minor under the age of 18. And then it gets passed along to Kodiak Teen Court, depending on the severity. So as I said earlier, we don't take felonies and we can't assign jail time. So that limits a certain scope of how many cases we can take, but such as vandalism, we can take vandalism. And then when it comes to Kodiak Teen Court, our program manager, Darlene Turner, she interviews the client, and then we set up a case night. And then on that case night, we sign up students to be defense attorneys, prosecuting attorneys, bailiffs, and judges. And then over the course of the days and weeks leading up to the case night, then the defense attorney, the group of three students, will interview the client, and then the prosecuting attorneys, they'll also come up with a criminal complaint in the case of the case being a criminal. And then the day in court, everyone comes together, and then we run through the official proceeding. And then by the end of the court case, we hope that the student understands what they've done and how to learn from their actions.
Have you heard back from some of the students? Maybe Andrew would know that because you've been involved with it a while.
Yeah, we've had some students that have gone through the program and completed their sentences and have written back letters of appreciation for the availability of the program and the impact that the program had had on their lives and changing certain things during the course of their lives. That has been an extremely positive thing. Now, we don't always get a letter back or a positive comment, but we do feel that we have a very strong impact on people that go through the program.
And some students even take the initiative of even joining the Kodiak Teen Court class after they've been through the program. They see the positive impact that it's had on them, and they want to further help the community since they've learned from their actions that they in their case.
Got it. Here, just so that somebody joining us right now, we're talking about Kodiak Teen Court, and Jacob Dunlop, Solomon Himmelbloom, and Andrew Ott are with me here today. And there's a class that starts on November 5th, an evening class about teen court, about the law, how things work. And if you work your way through the class, then you get to become attorneys, yes?
Definitely, yes.
Yes.
Okay, and then you don't get to become a judge right away.
No, so the process that happens is you take on cases as both, you start as a bailiff, recording the official court proceedings, and then you move your way to a third chair defense or prosecuting attorney, where then you don't have as much of a speaking role in the case, but you're still actively giving your input to the first and second chair defense and prosecuting attorneys. And then as you gain more experience, you start moving up, and it's important to have the balance of defending the client but also prosecuting the client. And then after I'd say many months or even up to a year of experience in teen court, you go before the Kodiak Teen Court Board of Directors expressing your interest to becoming a judge, and then the Board of Directors interviews you, and then after that you get sworn in, and you also take a training on how to be an effective judge. And then after that, you are able to sit on the panel of three judges in Kodiak Teen Court.
About how long does that take?
I'd say from time you're graduating the class to time your first case as a judge, it takes longer and shorter times for others, but I'd say maybe a year and a half to almost 2 years, but maybe a minimum of 1 year in the program.
I see. So it's something to work toward.
Definitely, yes.
And you mentioned board of directors. The board of directors is primarily students.
Students, yes. So we have 16 students and 8 adults. So we have a total of 24 members of the board of directors, and we meet every month to discuss parts of teen court. But also there's this thing called the Bar Association. So everyone that got sworn in as an attorney, the youth, they are members of the Bar Association. And students fill the roles of president, vice president, secretary on both the bar and the board. And hopefully the decisions they make collectively with the officers and the entire group of teen court students can have a... they're able to travel to an annual conference called the United Youth Courts of Alaska Conference throughout the state of Alaska.
Now, it seems to me some of this is complex because it deals with legal system, and legal system is kind of complex and things have to be done a certain way. But on the other hand, it's also, like you said, a class where you learn not just how the legal system works, but how you learn to be a better you. Because you learn the skills, you learn thinking processes, you are able to help people. But, you know, like some groups and I don't know, do they have clubs in the schools? Is that the word they use?
Yeah, activities, yes. Extracurriculars.
Okay, so some of these things that they do good things, and they, you know, but this one's a little more intense. You are more throwing yourself out there. Is it scary? I mean, is it scary to, Jacob, is it scary to think, one, that you have to throw yourself out there, or two, you have to talk to somebody and help? I don't know. To me, I would be nervous about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, you're held more accountable with your actions in teen court than any other club, but I personally believe that it's a lot more fulfilling.
Uh-huh. And you've been in other groups?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so... tell me why somebody would want to sign up for this thing. On how do they sign up ahead of time?
They can call the office, 486-3550, leave a message saying, I'm interested, here's my name, here's my contact information, and Ms. Turner will probably get back to you. We have a web page that they can actually post questions to as a kodiakteencourt.org, right?
Yes, and we also have a Facebook page, Kodiak Teen Court as well.
Got it. Okay, so you're going to, I guess, to me, because I know a little bit about the teen court, to me, it's a really good thing. And I guess I'm trying to, how do we explain that to parents or to kids to help them to understand that? Do you have that problem when you're in school? Do you talk about it a lot? Do kids have a grasp of what's going on?
I'd say our organization may be less known in the community just because we have to keep a strict confidentiality agreement with the client. So we're not allowed to go say what the client did or even who the client is. So we have to keep that into ourselves. But a reason maybe why a student would want to join is in the beginning of the class, they may have little to no experience with the law. And then by the end of the class, they can have all this knowledge that they can take with them throughout their high school career and beyond. The class is probably one of the more useful parts of the teen court program. But various points throughout the year, we have these things called CLEs, or continuing legal education, where we sit down and we can watch a movie or we can have a discussion about various aspects of legal studies and what our role in the legal system is.
Got it. Now, I'm also thinking somebody who was involved with, say, business, because I remember taking a business law class. They would find this useful because they have a perspective on how the court system works, and businesses have to deal with contracts and maybe being sued, or I mean, it's that's a part of doing business, and part of a business degree would include chunks of information on legal things.
Definitely. I'd say law has, it relates to a lot of aspects of careers, whether you're going to be in public service and you need the public speaking skills, or you're going to be writing and you need the writing skills, and just anything that requires critical thinking, which is pretty much all the jobs that are necessary in our world, can use the skills that you learn in Kodiak Teen Court.
how does one of a, say a parent has a kid who's having some challenges, how does that, can a parent just talk to you guys and say, I'm a little concerned about my son or my daughter, what can I do?
So I'd say that Kodiak Teen Court mostly plays a role after something has happened, but we try to promote safety and restoration throughout the community of Kodiak, whether that be before the client commits a crime and giving them the useful skills that they need, or holding them accountable after the crime. The adult, I'd say that they play a unique role in our Kodiak Teen Court program because they show up to the case night at the court system, and they see that we were running this officially, and we also sentence with various aspects of our sentence can have impacts on the parent. So we can interview the parent. We can see like what they've done like to help their child, but we can also further that extent by improving the relationship between the student and their parent.
Now, sometimes some of this involves family coaching or
counseling.
Counseling and how to, parenting skills,
yes,
as well, because it's not just the, it's a family problem. If a kid's in trouble, it's a family problem. Yes?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So, Jacob, we're almost out of time here, so I want you to tell me why somebody should do this. Why? Either as a student to learn more, or as a parent whose child is in trouble, or as a kid who gets into trouble, why would they want to choose the Kodiak Teen Court?
Sure. I feel like all angles of Kodiak Teen Court help improve a person's capability in society, as well as just, like, again, when I was talking about restorative justice, we work on accountability, competency development, and community protection. So we're not just looking at one angle of how this can help the community or a person. We're looking at all three. And I think that also goes with the people that work inside the program as judges or as attorneys. They're also being benefited by working in this program at many angles through learning different skills for the future or just getting more of a grasp on society and law.
Got it. Now, we have been given the 1 minute signal, so I'm not going to be able to ask everybody that same question. So let's just sum up here. We have Jacob Dunlop, excuse me, Solomon Himmelblum, and Andrew Ott from Kodiak Teen Court. This registration starts at November 5th is when the class starts. And if somebody wants to get involved, they can call Teen Court at 486-3550. KodiakTeenCourt.org is the website. And Facebook is probably just Kodiak Teen Court?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, that sounds fine. So thank you all for coming in. It was nice to see you and nice to have you here. I know from experience that it's a good program, and I'm glad to see that we have it here in Kodiak. So that's it for today's Talk of the Rock. I'm Maggie Wall, and thank you all for being here, and thank you all for joining us today.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.